Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon, brought to you by Kratzer Insurance. Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. If price and service means something to you, it means something to everybody, I think. Get in touch with them. Simple. Homeowners, auto, life, business insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Phone lines open 800-795-9565. I'm joined by Kevin Hur, who believes that you should be practicing kids 20 hours a day.
That's not true.
That's sad.
It's not true.
Okay. 21.
Just 19.
21. 21 hours?
19 hours? I just like 19. That's an interesting number.
Awful that you would even consider that. No. just embarrassed to be with you.
Listen, I had a practice the one time that went a total of 45 minutes, all right? It went 45 minutes. Nobody was there. I mean, mentally, nobody was there. It was after a, must have been an in-service day at school. I think all the kids had those, what's the pure sugar in the straw?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't think of what they're called now. Swizzle sticks or something like that. I don't know. I think every one of them had it. I finally said, listen, that's it. Go home. Enjoy the night. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm like, I give. You win. It's over.
So you quit on the kids.
I knew that was coming.
No,
I knew that was coming next.
Oh, you could take anything and turn it any way you want. That's called politics.
You missed your calling. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm sorry. I'm not really into America's cesspool. So, rather just be in sports. Didn't say that was clean either. Johnny Manziel, you brought up something interesting. I know we're going to talk more about the high school football thing in a moment. If I am Texas A&M, I play him every game, every snap.
It's a 50-50 shot that the game will count.
It doesn't matter if the game counts. You know what? I always love this. We vacated wins. Excuse me, I was there. I know who won. I know who was better.
I just wanted to get fired up for that one.
I mean, really. Again, what have I talked about repeatedly? You have to individualize sanctions and penalties. Pro sports gets it, but they have money behind them. They can fine an Alex Rodriguez. They can suspend an Alex Rodriguez. They don't put the New York Yankees on probation. College has never gotten it. Never gotten it. Ever. The NCAA has never gotten it when it comes to sanctioning. Never. If you think Kevin Hur, head football coach at Sunbury University, who just won the national championship, cheated his brains out to get there because he was able to get two boosters at Sunbury University to pay the star quarterback, Daniel Hur.
Wow, now we are in fantasy land.
Yes, we are. All right, and Drew Kelly, okay, the star running back. All right, here's what they need to do, okay? Danny Hur, who took the money, and Drew Kelly, who took the money, should never be allowed to play a college game again. And not only that, but should not be allowed to hold a job in a university athletic department in their lifetime. Okay? Kevin Hur, the head coach, who authorized all this, plus assistant coach Sean Carey, who helped put this together, should be banned from coaching in the NCAA or holding a position in an athletic department to the NCAA for a period of 5, 10, 15, or a lifetime. You take care of the individuals involved. You don't penalize everybody that's there.
By the way, that penalty should not be from the time you're in a different sport, by the way, and return, i.e. the Chip Kelly situation.
Chip Kelly, this 18-month thing, I mean, things like that are comical. Okay? Do you think... Okay, that 18 months from now, Chip Kelly will not be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles? I think he will be.
I don't see anything changing at the moment.
I think he's going to get at least 3 years there, don't you? You target individuals. Okay, you don't... we vacated wins and we cut back scholarships. Who are you hurting here? Okay? When you take away 20 scholarships from Penn State, 65, okay? All right? You just hurt the chances of maybe a Zach Zwinak. You hurt a Christian Hackenberg, really, because now they have depleted numbers around them. And you also told 20 kids out there they're not getting a Division I-A scholarship. Somewhere. Anywhere.
Yeah, but it goes back to the old saying, the punishment should fit the crime. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
It's the individuals that do it. If you have an SMU, for example, where it obviously was widespread from the university president, the athletic director knew, the coaching staff knew, the players knew, the whole thing. Okay, there's a cesspool you need to take care of. Okay. But when they shut down SMU and they gave him, quote, the death penalty, it scared the NCAA, and justifiably so, because they're like, oh, my God, we really did kill it. Because it took them, what, 25 years to get back? 25 years.
But with the Johnny Manziel situation, here's something
that's individualized.
Right. That didn't infect the team or the play on the football field, which is an argument I've always had. Now, will the fact that he signed autographs affect future play in the football field? No. Now, if you want to make him ineligible after investigating everything, that's fine. When the decision comes down, he's ineligible. Done. But you shouldn't, I agree with you, vacate the wins in a game in which he played because the team didn't do anything illegal. Now, if he would have been recruited improperly or if there was a recruiting error, recruiting violation or something that made it that he wasn't supposed to be there in the first place or maybe couldn't have been there in the first place, then there might be an argument in my mind to take wins away.
Look, this isn't going to take much for them to find out whether or not he signed autographs for money.
They spent 6 hours with him. I would hope they'd find an answer by then.
Well, I don't mean spending 6 hours with him. You find the people he signed for and find out whether or not they gave him money. Okay. They're the ones that will tell you whether they gave him cash or not.
Now,
okay?
Now, let me turn this in a different direction, if I may. Why is that a problem? Who is this hurting? If he was able to get $20 because somebody, this is a hypothetical, that I came up to you, Steve, and said, Steve, sign this for me. I'll give you $20 for your efforts.
Yeah, but I would never take it.
I understand that.
The difference. I sign autographs all the time. I leave baseball.
That.
Okay, I do. As you've seen, I do.
Absolutely.
Okay? And I'm not Jack Ham. He signs but seriously, I mean, it's not like I don't, because I do. I sign a lot. But exponentially, he signs many more than I do.
But
okay?
Why would that be a problem? Why should it be a problem?
But I don't think anybody should take a dime anyway for signing autographs.
Well, but that's okay. But
it's a public relations thing.
I know, but there's also the argument that, you know, and I'm going to use Johnny Manziel allegedly here as the example. He's made a name for himself that has made himself valuable. All right? That's
so
made
what?
His autograph valuable. Should he not get something for that? If
he
someone's willing to pay for it, why
for
not?
It. He already
know,
gets something
I
for
know.
It. I wrote two checks last week, one to Penn State and one to Lock Haven. I can damn well tell you they're getting paid.
I understand that. And I don't think the school should get anything on it.
And if his family is not doing well, they can get grant money. And guess what? You get to keep the grant money.
But it's his autograph. Shouldn't he decide how it gets handed out? Why should there be a ruling on this in the first place? That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's the same as, okay, then the Ohio State kids can sell their memorabilia.
I think that's fine.
I don't.
Why?
Why?
They own it. They were.
I know it's their stuff, and right. They own it. But I don't understand why you. Okay.
I don't understand why you would want to get rid of it. First off.
Right. I don't understand why they want to get rid of it. Okay. All right. I don't get that part.
I don't either.
At all. Okay. Actually, I do think it's okay for them to sell it. That's wrong because I've always said it was okay. It's their possessions. It was given to them. It's their stuff. They can sell it. So, I agree with you. They should be able to sell their stuff. Selling your autograph? Okay, fine. I understand. If you want to sell your autograph, fine. But why do you want? I mean, I don't understand why people would want to pay for it. What the hell do I want to pay for his autograph for? You know me. I don't want anybody's autograph.
Yeah, but I look at this differently.
I think it's like, okay, fine.
But as somebody who has paid for an autograph...
Now, do you want Troy Polamalu's autograph?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. That's the difference between you and me. I could care. I could care less.
Listen, I paid for an autograph before. I paid for an autograph photo.
For whom?
At the time, it was Cordell Stewart, and I felt like it was a pretty good idea.
Phew, I would never do that.
Yeah, well, hindsight's 20/20, my friend.
I understand. I'm not putting you down.
No,
I'm just saying
no.
Like different personalities, different. I
waited in a long line.
Because believe me, people ask me, and I always think to myself, I wouldn't want me to sign anything, unless it was a bank.
But, you know, if somebody feels you're worthwhile, well, what's wrong with that?
Oh, look, and I happily do it. I mean, I've never once said no, or I'm too busy, or I'm too... Never, not one time. I've always signed every single thing I've been asked to sign, happily, because I'm thrilled that they even asked me. And I've posed for every single picture I've ever been asked to pose for. I've never once said no, ever. And nor will I ever, because if somebody thinks that you're... But paying? Paying money for a signature?
And I totally agree with you. But the thing is, you have a different mindset. Again, I don't mind doing that.
I wouldn't pay a dime for anybody's signature.
If it's something I feel that I has a value to me.
As a collector. Sure, yeah. As a collector.
I'll pay for it.
I understand as a collector. I got it.
You know, but I get where you're coming from. And, if I were a player of any sort of talent whatsoever, would I feel obligated? Would I feel like going up after winning the Heisman Trophy in my freshman year and saying, you know what, I'd love to sign that for you. How about $20? No, I wouldn't do that. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened here. This is hypothetical.
Here's one for you. If you need money, go to your parents.
I understand that's a possibility in this case.
You need some extra coin, go to your parents.
But if somebody's willing to buy it, why should that be an NCAA violation? How does that affect the play of Texas A&M on the field? It doesn't.
It doesn't. It doesn't.
And does that devalue college football? No. As a matter of fact, I would think it would actually improve the value of college football. Financially.
Meaning? I don't know what you mean by that.
Meaning now you have more value to these autographs because now they're going to be fewer to come around. If people are paying for it, there's not going to be many around.
Kevin. All right.
You're looking at this from a different angle.
No,
I know.
It devalues college football.
Okay.
The fans of college football pay enough money for seat licenses, season tickets, okay? Donations to clubs, donations for parking,
sure.
Then paying for the parking space itself, then paying for all the food, okay, to go watch the game.
Sure.
Okay? That money goes to scholarships, it goes to training table, it goes to books, it goes to dorms. Okay? That's where the money goes. Or to facilities, which they get to use for free. All right? There is a part of sports that is called the public relations part of sports that is extremely important. And that is contact with the fans. That's contact with the fans. That's stopping and talking to your consumer. Okay? That's stopping and taking a picture with them. It's signing an autograph for them. They pay for enough. Why do they need to pay for your autograph? Okay? These are people that have already paid a lot of money to come watch you play anyway. Now you're going to make them pay more just by being in your mere presence?
I do understand that point.
I mean, I have to pay money now to be in your mere presence?
But now let me turn that a different direction.
It devalues it because as far as I'm concerned, they're already paying enough money. Now they got to pay to get an autograph? I look around and go, I'm not going to pay for your autograph.
Okay. Now what if this were, let's say, May? All right. Let's pick June.
I don't care what month it is.
Well, now hear me out. You're at a card show. You're at a card show where dealers are paying to be part of it. And you're asked to come in as a football player because you're big name football quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there as a draw to sign autographs and meet the public.
Yeah, but now you're a professional if you're doing it for money.
I understand that part of it.
Okay. Pete Rose does this. Pete Rose is a retired player. That's how he gets some extra income.
But my point is that wrong?
Yeah, you're a professional at that point.
I mean, in the dollars and cents version of it, yes, I would agree with that.
You're a professional. Okay, now put your
name in the NFL. But you're not being paid to play football. You're being paid to show up because you play football.
Let me put it
this way. That's semantics, I realize.
If you were Johnny Manziel, economics genius, nobody would ask you to come sign anything for money.
Very true.
Okay, you're Johnny Manziel, Heisman Trophy winner. Okay. You're not allowed to go to the NFL draft until after your third year of college, which this will be the end of his third year of college. He redshirted, all right? So he can opt for the NFL after this. The second he's done with his last game, he can go and sign all the stuff he wants because he's entering the NFL draft. He's already a professional at that point. But to go to an organized show and sign and the whole thing, no. No, no, no.
No, I know it's not. I know it's a violation. I'm just saying, should it be? That's what I was asking.
Yes, it should be because you're an amateur.
All right.
You're an amateur at that. You're still an amateur technically. You know, college football is not minor league football. Right? You still have to go to class, get grades. Maybe it sounds like there's ideology here, but you know what though? I read enough media guide stuff and so forth. And about players and the percentage of football players and basketball players and so forth that are getting 3-0s, that are getting the degrees, and the minuscule numbers that make teams. I mean, look, you have seven rounds in the NFL draft. You have fifth, sixth, and seventh round guys hanging on right now to make teams. The percentage of people that actually make it is very small. That's why those who understand and take their education seriously, including Johnny Manziel, who was an absolute mixed bag as an NFL prospect. Okay? You want honesty? I'll give you honesty. He is an absolute mixed bag as an NFL prospect.
Well, he had one really, really good year. When he puts another really, really good year together, you might be able to say something better.
But Kevin, arm strength is an issue. Have you watched him play the game?
I saw one game early in the season.
His arm strength is okay. He's clever. Great escape ability. Really good vision. But as a thrower of the football, his accuracy is good, right? But his arm strength is something where you're like, I'm not so sure if you put him in there and he has to make that particular throw. I'm not so sure I'd be comfortable having him make a couple throws in the NFL. Especially with the speed at defensive back. They also now have a full year of tape on him. It's going to be interesting to see how people react to him. He is a mixed bag as an NFL prospect. He is no surefire in a first-round pick, and he is no surefire Robert Griffin III, Andrew Luck, or Russell Wilson. And that's what a lot of people don't realize about him. I think people, I don't think, number one, they know how big he is because he's not that, he's decent size. I think he's, what, 6'6", 6'1"? Because Russell Wilson's not big. He's 5'11". Right? And he's clever enough, like Robert Griffin III's clever enough, but Robert Griffin III is a far superior thrower in terms of absolute arm strength. He is... That's why there isn't a really good read on him right now as a prospect. You want to know why?
Well, he hasn't taken...
Because he wasn't eligible for this year's draft, so they're not really looking at him in that.
Right. I see what you're saying.
That's why there's not. There's only like a peripheral read on him right now. But I'm telling you what I see. Right? I think he was the single most exciting player in college football last season, no doubt. And remember when we did the show, what, about 2 weeks out, which player did I tell you I thought would win the Heisman Trophy? I told you I thought Johnny Manziel, and we talked about whether a freshman should win it or not, even a redshirt freshman. I said, sure, if he's the best player, he's the best player.
That's right.
Okay? But that's in college football. The question is whether or not, I mean, A.J. McCarron might be the best pro prospect in the SEC. I'm talking NFL now. I'm not talking about college here. See what I'm saying? Height, throwing, you know, things like that. Some of the measurables that the NFL looks at. And they look at a lot of measurables. But that's one of the measurables that they look at. You know, just saying. You know, that's why he's in an interesting area where, you know, hey, you know, yeah, the iron's hot, strike now. Guess what? Go to school, get a degree, Johnny. Iron's hot there too. Time, you know, my advice to Johnny Manziel is simple. Son, it's time to grow up. News at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our show today brought to you by Kratzer Insurance.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. Homeowners, life, auto, business insurance. They have two basic principles at Kratzer Insurance. Service and a price that works for your budget. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. 800-795-9565. What makes a high school Friday night special to you? There's a lot of elements that come into it. Sometimes it's the football. Sometimes it's the socialization, the food, the band, the atmosphere. It's your school. I mean, there's a lot of things that make high school football experience on a Friday night special to you. What's special to you out there? 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Plus, of course, Bill O'Brien had his press conference today. There's no choice in the starting quarterback. I told Jack Ham 2.5 weeks ago, and we were talking about this. He said, what do you think? I said, I said, look, he publicly will not tell anybody. I told him 2.5 weeks ago, he publicly won't tell anybody right up until game time. I said, it's not to his advantage to do that. It's not to his advantage to do that. So he's not going to.
This is the quietest quarterback game of any college football game this year, because Scott Schaefer at Syracuse isn't saying anything either.
Right.
He's talking about platooning right now.
Yeah, he can platoon all he wants. I don't care what he does. You know, and that's it. But the difference is that if Drew Allen plays versus Terrell Hunt, they are different styles. Allen is an absolute pocket, right? Not great movement thrower of the football. Hunt can move. You will play different styles, and George McDonald will change up a bit as the coordinator there as to what he wants to do with the two quarterbacks. So it's going to keep John Butler a little off balance, and he has to practice two different ways this week really to get ready so they understand as to which quarterback's in and which one has the ability to run the option and which one doesn't. So that does keep you off balance, that mystery, that guessing game. Conversely, for Penn State, Scott Schaefer, you know, Penn State's made, you know, like any team, they make changes, subtle changes, things like that, and Bill's great at game planning and so forth. But the style of the game would never change if one quarterback replaced the other one. The style of the game would not change. With Syracuse, the style of the game would change. And it sounds like he wants to play both, so the style of the game will change. It's not that it might change. At some point, the style of the game will change, and he'll see which one has the hot hand. Bill's not going to go with the hot hand guy. And believe me, Bill's picked the quarterback. That's not the issue. He's already picked the quarterback. He's already sat down with both of them. He's already told them exactly what the deal is directly. Now it's a question of now buttoning down the game plan with both quarterbacks, and most especially with the one that is the starter.
The real question you have to ask is, can Syracuse run two different offenses in this game this early in the season? I mean, that's a lot. Well, that's a lot to expect.
Two different offenses.
Well, I mean, they have two different styles of quarterbacks, so it's almost like you're running two different offenses.
No, you're running one offense, and it turns out that there's part of the offense that you have to take out for the other guy.
Okay. I still think that's like two different offenses, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but you're not practicing two different offenses.
No, I get that.
There's an element of plays that you put in for him that are in addition to what your base offense already is. Your base offense does include throwing out of the pocket. Your base offense doesn't include an I formation running game and a power game, because they have two really good running backs in Smith and Gully. I mean, they're both really good. Smith's a 1,000-yard guy. Penn State's going to have to work hard to really make them one-dimensional, and the key is to make Syracuse one-dimensional throwing the football, because neither one of those guys are going to put back there's Ryan Nassib.
Yeah, what you're saying is it's not like they're running with one quarterback, I formation, dives, and then with the other one, it's almost like a wing T Revere.
Right. You know, it just means that they have additional plays in the playbook that they already have. They can run with that guy as opposed to him.
I get that.
You know, the basic pass routes, you don't have two separate pass routes. They're all the same pass routes for whichever quarterback is doing this.
Somebody asked me this the other day, too.
But you do have additional run plays in there, like quarterback draws, option plays, and so forth with Hunt. They won't be. So that for the offensive line, they have to block that a little differently with him as opposed to Allen. Okay? But you still also have your dives and powers when Hunt's in there as well. And your pass routes are exactly the same, so you're not running two different offenses.
Somebody did ask me this the other day, and I couldn't think of anything, but let's say, for the sake of argument, either one of these teams decides to use a platooning quarterback situation all year long. Has anybody been really successful doing that for an entire season? I was trying to think of somebody that had a lot of success doing that.
Well, Florida did that in Tebow's freshman season, where they brought him in from time to time, but Chris Leak was the primary guy. And they won the national championship. But Leak was still the primary guy, and in fact, in the national championship game, Leak played brilliantly. So they did, you know, they used, I mean, Leak probably played 2/3 of the time, maybe 75% of the time. Tebow probably played 25% of the time. And in specialty situations. So, I mean, that's the closest I can think of off the top of my head of winning a national championship but Leak was still the primary guy. There was no doubt who the primary guy was. There was no doubt that he was the quarterback and not Tim Tebow. Okay?
By the way, the information that came out, we talked about Johnny Manziel's issues and situation last half hour. It appears as though the NCAA met with him Sunday for about 5.5 hours, and he did deny accepting money from memorabilia brokers for autographs.
Good. Good.
But then again,
we'll find out if he's telling the truth.
I was going to say, but then again, you know, we'll find out when all the information becomes available. And you know, the NCAA really has to be careful with how they handle all this, because so many investigations have been mishandled. They cannot afford to make a snap judgment here, and one way or the other.
Yes, they do. Look, I don't know why it takes 5.5 hours to sit there and ask them about.
That's another very good question.
What the heck took 5.5 hours?
I mean, that sounds more like an interrogation, not a question.
Well, it's
an answer session.
To me, there's so many issues surrounding him. They may have taken a lot of time to talk with him about. Excuse me. Look, Johnny's got to grow up. He's got to grow up. Now, do college kids go out on a Friday night and a Saturday night, and they end up at the frat and don't leave the frat for, you know, maybe, I don't know, days? Yes, they do.
Yep.
So is he an average college kid in that regard? Yes. But you do have to know who you are and who you represent.
By the way, I am watching the Cut Wire.
And by the way, his parents also have to understand that, too.
I am watching the Cut Wire. I just haven't seen any big names come out of it. Tim Tebow did make it to the 75 cut that happened at 4 o'clock today for the Patriots, so he is still a Patriot.
Well, he'll be a Patriot all the way through. I don't think that's an issue. Okay? Because they need three quarterbacks. I can see him on a Sunday being the third guy that's dressed and not eligible unless needed to play. Okay? The 46th guy.
Right.
Ryan Mallett's the backup quarterback.
Zach Miller, 7-year tight end out at Tampa. He was cut by the Bucs today.
Yeah, that changes the balance of power.
That's what I'm saying. There's not a whole lot.
It's the first cut.
Yeah.
Nobody goes in the first cut.
I'm looking at any names that are recognizable right off the bat, right. And Marcus Lattimore would probably be the only one.
He got cut.
The 49ers announced that just a little after 3. They're down to 74.
Is he on POP? Is he on PUP, personally unable to perform?
Hang on. Let me just take a look. It says the reserve NFI list.
Well, that's expected. Who could expect him to be ready to play? He can't play right now. Next year, though, he can. I mean, that pick was done with foresight, which is a rarity in the NFL draft.
Eagles waive Phillip Hunt, which means he'll be placed on the IR if he clears. That puts Philadelphia at 75. I would think that this is probably a no-brainer to say, but I would think that the next few days, these cuts are going to be really, really tough.
Well, sure they are. It's always going to be tough at this time because you have a lot of interesting battles going on. What happens between Gilreath, Moy, and Brown? Well, that's really tight. Tough. Really tough. You know, there's a lot of things you have to weigh. Sometimes what swings it one way or another is how well a guy performs on special teams. That's a big swing for some guys. How well does a guy perform on special teams? And that's, you know, and that's something that has to be weighed in here, because now you're going to go from 75 down to, 46, essentially, because of the extra quarterback deal. And then they're on top of that, you want to take 7 more and put it on a practice squad. So you're essentially telling 22 others goodbye. So that's what the fourth preseason game is all about. Which 22 are you saying goodbye to, and who are the last, three or four roster spots.
Oh, the Ravens cut Ray Rice. Just kidding.
So.
I just wanted to get Sarah Bartlett all upset.
Well, you can call right now the paramedics. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL 11995, 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only 15,521. 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just 17,887. A 2010 Honda Odyssey five-door EXL 22,775. 2011 Lincoln MKZ four-wheel drive four-door, $34,822. And a 2010 Cadillac DTS four-door sedan, $24,595. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Shopping for insurance to save money is not an easy thing. What if I told you there's good news for Pennsylvania residents searching to save money on homeowners, auto insurance, RVs, motorcycles, and more? What if I told you you didn't have to sacrifice local personal service? Then call or visit online the Kratzer Insurance Agency in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, serving the area now for 50 years.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. We are proud to offer Safeco Insurance at a very competitive rate. Some customers have saved as much as 50% off their premium.
Safeco has been around since 1923, and in 2008 became part of the Liberty Mutual Insurance, a name well-known and trusted in the insurance industry. Start saving and be safe with Safeco and Kratzer Insurance.
Standing together against whatever, family, friendship, security,
the Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Okay.
A parting song for those that are not making the rest of the year in the NFL.
They may get picked up by somebody else. 800-795-9565. Don't forget our email, stevejones@wkok.com. Facebook, Steve Jones Show, and Twitter at Steve Jones PSU. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. And today's show, the Tuesday edition, brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, homeowners, life, auto, and business insurance. If service and price are important to you, check us out, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Bill O'Brien did not name a starting quarterback today. We told you last week he wasn't going to name a starting quarterback today. What did we tell you last week? He would wait to game time. All the pressure's on me to get it right.
But that's not what he said earlier in the week.
And what did I say after he said it?
That he was going to wait another week yet.
No, I said he was going to wait till game time.
Well, that's what I meant, another week, yeah.
Yes.
Because he was saying by the end of the week, I should have a player. Well, you know what? If I think about the way he worded it, it's probably not a stretch of the truth. By the end of the week, he knew who he wanted. He just didn't announce it.
Exactly. He knew. He just wasn't going to tell you. He wasn't going to tell anybody. All right, which is fine. I don't think people are up in arms about not knowing. That's what I find interesting. I don't think the fans are up in arms about knowing. And here's the big plus from this. He's choosing among quality. He's made the choice from quality.
That's exactly right.
And I think that's what, you know, two guys that really do understand and get the system. They're headed in the right direction in the system. There's not a lot of guesswork in the system for either one. If something were to happen to the first one, could they rely on the second one to win a game for them? Yes.
And see, remember I talked about that with the NFL. I said it's hard to find a starting quarterback and a backup quarterback that you can think both can win the game for you if they're in. Right now, Penn State has that situation. I think the fans realize it too.
I mean, there's certain teams where you look at and you say, you know what, actually they do. I mean, take the Giants. If Eli Manning went out, could David Carr be functional for them? Yes. I felt the Steelers had that with Byron Leftwich, but he got hurt.
I think they have it now.
And they have it now in Bruce Gradkowski. I think they have that quality backup that could win a game or two. You could not look. Could you go the next 10 games with him and feel good? No. Look, here's who
Eagles Steelers have that too.
The Eagles absolutely have that. The Eagles have that. And the Redskins have that.
Oh, no question.
Okay. The Jets don't have a quarterback.
The Jets Bills don't have a starter. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Bills had that, and then they both got hurt. Now the tool kid's going to start. But there's certain teams that have a decent backup situation, and the Vikings do. Christian Pondrick, Matt Castle. They actually have it.
I think I like the backup better than the starter from last
year. And I think maybe you're right. You know, it's not like Castle hasn't been there before and performed at a high level. He has, both with the Patriots and the Chiefs. He had one great year with the Patriots, which then dovetailed to him getting a contract at Kansas City, and then he ended up having a great season in Kansas City. The last couple were not. But at least he's had some success, and he knows the speed of the game, which is different. So when you're talking about quality, the choice among two quality guys, Bill's had that. He made the choice days ago. And that quarterback is entrenched, set to go, and knows that he is the starter going into the game. Both know what their roles are going into the opening game of the season. We just have to all find out on Saturday together, which is fine. And believe me, it won't be hard to tell on Saturday for fans who are going to the game. Watch the warm-ups. Whoever's with the first offensive line is the guy that's starting the game. Okay? Voila.
I think you're going to see a lot of people. There were a lot of good deals on tickets for this particular game.
Pirates, by the way, made a deal, by the way. Marlon Byrd and John Buck.
I was going to ask you about that, and I forgot.
Go to the Pirates. Buck will be a good backup for them at catcher. Byrd will probably start. Starling Marte is on the DL right now. Byrd will probably start. Defensively, he's a train wreck. Offensively, he has resurrected himself this year to a .285 average and 21 home runs.
I think you're being kind with train wreck.
Honest to goodness, you hit the ball to left field and you have a runner on first base, you consider scoring him.
Yeah.
All right. he might have the single worst arm I've seen in a major league.
Listen, I'm just happy when he keeps his feet underneath him.
I mean, he might have the single worst arm of any major league player I've seen in the outfield right now. Anybody on second base, even if the ball hits shallow to left, I send him. That wraps up today's broadcast extravaganza. Lou Prado is going to join us tomorrow here in the Sunbury Motors studio to talk about his new book. We have a lot going on. We are heavy on guests the rest of the week. Very heavy on guests. Time to have some fun, huh? The dog days of August are over. Now the good days are about to come.